This is the University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. Today we look at the technology the university just acquired for brain research and the exciting developments surrounding neuroscience research here on campus. Joining me today is Dr. Mike Webster, Professor of Psychology at the university. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Mike, the university received a large grant just very recently to purchase what is called Functional Magnetic Resonance Imaging Technology, or fMRI. What does this technology enable the university to do?
So this completely opens the door for a whole new way of looking at the brain for our researchers. The basic idea of it is that an MRI scanner, which most people are familiar with at a hospital, forms a picture of the brain by using a magnetic field. And it turns out that picture changes slightly when the brain is active in different ways. So depending on whether you're looking at a picture or trying to remember an event or trying to make a decision, different neurons inside your head will be responding in different ways. And fMRI, which stands for functional MRI, allows you to actually pick up that neural activity and allows researchers to see what's really going on in your head when you're doing different things.
Is that real time?
Yes, it's a little bit slow, so it picks up activity over orders of a few seconds.
Basically, not looking at an image that was produced minutes or days or hours ago.
Right, you're seeing people as they're thinking, you're actually monitoring their brain activity, and you're doing it completely non-invasively, so you can stick anyone inside of a scanner and really look at what's going on between their ears, so that's incredibly exciting.
Is this capability new to our area?
Yeah, so it's a technique that's really taken over the field in the last 15 years and has just completely revolutionized how we understand the brain and the mind. Now, this is the first time we've had this opportunity available for our researchers at the university.
And is there anything like in the region or California? Where's the closest something like this?
The closest center where our researchers have been going in the past is to UC Davis.
But this is now in our community. How does the fMRI work? Give me a sense of what the person would experience if they're going through this process.
Right. So if you've had an MRI, again, they put you in basically a tube which has a very strong magnetic field. And you can think that this field can be used to form a picture of your brain or other parts of your body. And again, that picture is slightly different when you're doing different things with your brain. And the reason for that is when cells are active inside your head, they need more blood. And so the fMRI allows you to actually monitor where that blood is flowing to and basically form an image saying when you're thinking, what part of your brain is actually lighting up doing that.
And is this related to certain emotions or just a capacity that the brain is actually functioning? What are you actually measuring or looking at when it lights up?
Well, again, what you're looking at, what we want to know about is how do the cells inside your head respond? How do they allow us to do all the things that humans can do, like think and reason and perceive? And the way we do that is by using assemblies of neuron cells inside our head that have different patterns of activity. When those cells become active, they need more oxygen basically to work and blood flow for their responses. And fMRI is just a technique which monitors, okay, where's that blood going? Which part of your head is actually involved when you're thinking about what you had for lunch today or when you're trying to understand a math problem or when you're afraid? It's been used in virtually everything involved with how humans think and behave.
We who are not brain researchers think of an MRI from a medical standpoint. There's an injury, you're in the ER, you have cancer or something along those lines. Here, are you studying healthy brains and just looking at behavioral patterns, or is this also something as a diagnostic tool?
Well, it's very important for both. So it's fundamentally important for really understanding how just the normal brain works, which parts are involved. We know, for example, that even if you think of something as simple as seeing, we know that very different parts of your brain are involved in whether you're recognizing a face or deciding where to reach for an object or what color something is. So each part of the brain is really specialized for doing different things. And the more we understand that with normal individuals, the better we are at being able to diagnose what's happening with different sorts of brain injuries. We have researchers on campus that are very interested in both the normal brain function and also looking at dysfunction, things like people with traumatic brain injuries or strokes or Alzheimer's.
And so therefore, you are working with injured patients or disease patients at some point, but you must also use volunteers or other test subjects who are healthy in this fMRI.
Yes, that's correct. A lot of graduate students are participating. If I could actually give one example.
Yes, please.
The very first study that we did, we have a new faculty member here named Fang Jiang in my department. And what her research specializes on is really looking at what happens to the brains of people who are, for example, deaf or blind. So we know there's a big chunk of your brain that's important for vision. If you're blind, what are you doing with all that brain? And she's looking at individuals who are blind and looking at whether those areas of the brain are actually being taken over by other senses like hearing and starting to respond to different kinds of stimulation. So it's very important just for understanding in general how the brain works, but also ultimately we hope in being able to help people who have different kinds of neural deficits.
Where is this equipment located?
So this was made possible by a partnership we had with Renown Hospital. So we're basically using their MRI imaging facility there. And what we needed to do was buy a head coil, which is just a special additional accessory to their MRI scanner, which lets us basically pick up and monitor the brain activity. And so it's really part of a much more general bridging that's going on between the university and Renown Hospital. And we're just one small part of that, but we're intensely grateful for them for making this opportunity possible for us. These are very expensive pieces of equipment to operate and maintain. And by actually having the center at their hospital, we're able to do this in a very cost-effective way.
This is University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. I'm David Stipik with my guest, Mike Webster, professor of psychology at the university. We're discussing news about brain research at the university and some recent developments here. Mike, you were the project lead on the $10 million grant that was received from the National Institutes of Health that made this possible. Why was the university awarded this grant?
So these are large grants that the NIH gives basically to build research infrastructure at different universities. This is actually the third grant that we have at UNR like this. There's two others that are based at the medical school. And this particular one is really focused on building the brain sciences at the university. And one reason I think we were awarded it is because we already had a really big pool of researchers here all across campus at the School of Medicine and Biology, in psychology and engineering, that we're all working on trying to understand the brain. And the purpose of this grant is really to bring those researchers together and also to help give them the resources and the modern techniques that they can use to really look at the brain.
This is a collaboration all throughout the university. Are there other departments or other entities involved besides the ones you just mentioned there?
Yes, absolutely. It's basically almost every campus unit. I think people don't realize how important brain science is to almost everything we do as a society. We automatically think of the health implications, the kind of opportunities for helping people, but virtually anything you can think about we would understand it better if we understood how the mind works. There's whole new fields that are developing in things like neuroeconomics, trying to understand why do people make the decisions they do, why do they place value on them. And even in our economics department here, there's a group growing that's looking at that. There are new fields like neuroaesthetics, like why do we appreciate art as humans and what is it about how the brain works, affects how we interpret and perceive art. So literally, there's no discipline on this campus that wouldn't be affected by the neurosciences and isn't already starting to think about it.
And in terms of this grant that the university received, was there a specific time frame involved that you felt like the time was right to do this? Or is it because the technology is available or because of all the other researchers on campus? What was it that made this a good grant to apply for?
Yeah, I think the reason we were successful again is because UNR already has a really large pool of researchers in many different campus units that are working on the brain, everything from cellular mechanisms and genetics up to the kind of things we do in psychology, looking at the brain and behavior. We have people in philosophy who are trying to understand sort of the basic questions that science can't really get at. So there's all these people out there, and we were able to really draw on the strengths of all of them. Another really important part of this grant is to help fund junior faculty. And over the last 5 years, UNR has made some incredibly good hires of being able to recruit new faculty to come here that are neuroscientists. And so we were able to leverage the fact that they were here and also to give them the support that they need to develop their careers and become their own independently funded researchers.
What's the time frame?
So the grant was actually started 2 years ago. The $10 million is for the first 5 years. They can hopefully be renewed three times. So we're looking at a very long-term project, which we hope by the end of it that we'll be a leading center in the nation for neuroscience research. And so we're currently in our third year of it right now. One of our long-term goals, which has been a goal for a very long time at the university, is to actually acquire the kind of modern tools for neuroscience like fMRI. And we were just very fortunate to be able to partner with Renown and get it much sooner than we expected.
And is that now operational?
Yes, it actually started in October. And so we have people actually over there every Friday scanning subjects, looking at their brains.
What does this do for students and faculty?
Well, for faculty, again, it opens up the door for researchers. It's basically a whole new way of studying the brain. And it's really just one of several different resources that we've been able to bring through the COBRA. We have several other ways of basically monitoring people's brain activity. You can just put an electrode on the surface of the skull and measure the activity of cells as people are doing different things. And we have – that's an EEG system. We have that. We have new techniques that biologists can use, like confocal microscopy and things. And so the purpose of this grant was really to bring all these different modern tools to UNR so that we can really be a major player in this game.
And you mentioned grad students as research subjects, but how else are students involved in this process?
So there, a large part of this grant is also providing funding for graduate students. I think there's currently about 11 different graduate students that are actually supported through this grant. It's a big draw to recruit excellent graduate students to come to UNR because we now have the resources and the training and the faculty to really provide them a first-rate education in neuroscience.
What about undergraduates? Involved at all?
Absolutely. It turns out that 6 years ago, we started an undergraduate major in neuroscience. It's, I think, still the fastest growing major at UNR. It's involving units all over campus. We currently have about 300 majors, and they're some of the best students on campus. They're all good, but these guys are really great, and it's really popular among honor students and pre-med. And again, I think that's because people realize that this is really where the big questions are. We currently know very little about what's going on in the brain, but understanding it is fundamentally important for solving so many problems that we have as a society today. And so there's just the enormous opportunity. I wish I was an undergraduate just getting into the field at this time.
Quite an exciting time, which leads me to a couple of final questions here. You mentioned how this overall helps with recruiting at the university, but what are the benefits to the university and to our community with this new technology and all this brain research the university is doing right now?
Well, I think, again, that we've really positioned ourselves to be a leading player in the field of neuroscience. I think if you look at things like NIH funding, the amount of money they're devoting to study the brain because they realize it's so important for health-related questions. The Obama administration has started the Brain Initiative because they realize it's so important, again, not only for health but really for understanding everything. Our brains are really sort of the best that we know about for solving problems, and whether it's engineering or almost anything else, the way we can really solve some of the major issues we're facing is really understanding, okay, well, how did humans actually figure this out? How did the brain get built in a way that lets it do these incredible things, figure out these problems, and solve them?
Is there a local impact? Is it helping local projects, or is this adding to the national or international research collection?
I think there's a lot of potential for interactions with the local community and industry. Again, I think that when you look at things like neuroengineering, there are, for example, companies in town that are looking at things anywhere from iPhone applications to prosthetic devices. The more we understand about how the brain actually works, the more we can kind of simulate those and figure out how can we get technology to start interacting in efficient and functional ways with the brain and start using that to build better devices that help people to live better.
Final question, what's the future look like for brain science and how is the university playing a role in that? What's the university doing to expand to meet the demand? What are the projects going on right now?
Well, there are so many things happening right now. It's a really exciting time. As I mentioned, we've got a really booming undergraduate major in neuroscience. I also mentioned that this is one small part of the partnership that's happening with Renown Hospital, and there's a phenomenal group of physicians and researchers there, an Institute of Neuroscience at Renown, which is soon going to become the Department of Neurology for our medical school. And also most recently, we've gotten together about 45 faculty have pooled together to start a new PhD program for graduate students in the neurosciences. And I think this is really going to be fundamentally important for really starting to get all these brain researchers on campus to talk to each other. And that's really just awaiting a final approval by the Board of Regents in March. So my fingers and toes are crossed that that will soon be online and we'll actually have our first students this fall. And I think the more discoveries we make and as the field keeps growing, the career opportunities for students keep growing, the funding that's available from the government for this kind of research keeps growing. It's really a good place for UNR to be investing.
Well, very good. Thank you very much. This has been University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik talking about neuroscience and brain research with my guest, Mike Webster, Professor of Psychology at the University. Mike, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for listening to KUNR.